Welcome to Seeking the Kingdom podcast. I'm Samantha Sally, freelance writer, published author, wife, mom, and daughter of the King. This podcast is all about how to pursue God, seek His kingdom, and live to glorify Him in all that we do. Hi, everyone. Thank you for choosing to listen to Seeking the Kingdom. I know it's been a long time since the last podcast. I had been working on a podcast topic, a new one for you guys, for over a month, and I planned on recording it before the end of July. It had been a long time since the last podcast, mostly because I have been in a really bad writer's block. And I really just wanted to get back into podcasting because I really, really enjoy it. And just as I practically finished the podcast topic that I was going to present for you guys, God interrupted me and said, nope, you are going to put that aside and you're going to talk about this. So this podcast might not be as clean cut and composed because I really am winging this. This is completely last minute and I'm really letting the Holy Spirit guide my words. So I'm hoping that it's going to be a really inspiring podcast for anybody who's listening. So I guess I'm just going to dive right into it and start by saying there's a family friend of mine. Her name is Carrie, who is diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer way back in August 2011. I was a junior in high school, I think, and I don't really remember too much about those early years, but I remember that she had that BRCA gene. I think they might call it BRCA, and that, you know, was passed down to her from generation to generation of women. And she was told at this stage in the game, it was really too late to be cured. And she was given 1 to 3 years of palliative cancer treatment. And if you don't know what palliative treatment means, it's basically just trying to provide relief from physical and emotional symptoms for someone near the end of their life and preparing them and their families for their eventual death. So here's Carrie receiving this information, just shocked, and it was, I think, a couple weeks or a couple months after her father had passed away when she was diagnosed, and, you know, that year had not been super kind to her, but she had faith. She had faith that she would be healed. I remember her talking to my mother about her hearing from God, and God had said, Carrie, you know, if you change your ways and follow what I have set for you, then, you know, you'll have a great longer life. And if you don't and you continue the way you're going to die. And I remember that. So, you know, Carrie started pursuing chemotherapy, but she stopped eating junk food. She was really pursuing a holistic cancer treatment plan, you know, juicing carrots and eating sprouts for breakfast and that kind of thing. But a little while after she started chemo, she felt called to stop. Not only did she feel that chemo wasn't really the right choice for her, she decided to pause her care so she could travel to Romania and minister there. She felt called to do it. And a lot of people thought she was crazy. She had stage 4 cancer, and she was going to another country as a missionary. And I don't remember how long she was there. I think me and my mom talked about it, and we think it was about 6 weeks. But I remember that she loved it. She lived in a tiny garage and never felt more fulfilled and full of God's grace. And when she finally came home, her cancer was practically non-existent. I know that her levels were unbelievable, very low. The doctors just couldn't understand how someone who was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer could be looking like this in all of her labs. So after this point, I'm not really sure what happens between Carrie and her health directly following Romania, except for her cancer eventually came back or got worse, and instead of going for chemo, she pursued alternative treatments. And eventually, April 2015, Carrie started to go paralyzed from a tumor breaking through her spine. And she was going through a lot of symptoms because of it. And again, doctors were not hopeful. She was not given good news. She might have not been able to walk anymore. And she spent time in the hospital scared and wondering if it was really the end. But she still remained strong and grabbed onto that hope and faith that she had. And exactly 1 year later to the day, in 2016, she hiked through Pike Lake in Wisconsin and climbed one of the tall wooden viewing towers and praised God for his healing and mercy, because all those doctors, you know, and all of the educated people were like, nope, with that cancer in her back, she shouldn't have been able to stand exactly 1 year later. And there were a lot of other struggles that Carrie had gone through during her battle with cancer, like being, I believe she was sold a condo that was infested with mold and was dealing with Hashimoto's, and struggling to have income and keep a job during, you know, her many appointments and being sick. And she was relying on government checks and donations from friends to keep her afloat, but she still had such a positive faith. And she wrote in the spring of 2018, "I have been spending the last several months more diligently seeking God and studying His Word. He has given me great peace and contentment. There will always be trials and tribulations in this world. Yes, we can look around and it appears that evil is prevailing and wondering where God is in all of this. When we really know God and really love God, we will know for sure that He is with those who love Him and seek Him diligently. He never shuts the door on anyone who sincerely calls His name. In all my troubles these last years, I have been able to walk through it with my head held high and a clean conscience before God and man. I know for sure that it is well with my soul. I look forward to my future in confidence of the Lord." And Carrie's Facebook was always so encouraging. I think she was just one of the most encouraging Facebook friends that I ever had. And even on Instagram, almost every single post was glorifying God in some way. You know, any photo that she shared in the hospital, or when she got to go for a walk or a hike, or pictures of her cats, there was always something that she could always bring to show people about God and God's love. And despite what she was going through, she wrote things like, "Be faithful in where God plants you, and be faithful to Him no matter what you're going through. He will bless you. He will take care of you." So I know that eventually Carrie was also diagnosed with bone tumors, but again, she was still hopeful, because while it may have caused her great pain and comfort, she continued with her strong faith that God would answer her prayers. And more recently, she had planned to travel to Maryland to try, immunotherapy, an answer prayer for more alternative therapies that she was trying to pursue, because there are not that many for people that are in her kind of health situation. But during her workup, she was disqualified because they found brain mets. And despite that heartbreak and her desire to give up, I don't know how she still, was able to muster the faith that she had. And after getting treatment for those brain mets, her scans were clear, and she was able to actually go to Maryland to get that treatment that she prayed for. So God placed it on my heart to talk about what putting our faith in God looks like, if you didn't pick up on the topic yet. And using Carrie's story and her faith, and that's the message that God wanted me to talk to you guys about. So I asked this morning what scripture I should refer to during this message, and God told me that I need to refer to the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. So please bear with me as I tackle this message, and I promise if you stick around to the end, it's going to be well worth listening to. So Hebrews 11 starts by saying, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family, and by his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God would even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when in his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with all the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he kept Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with all those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and who became a powerful person in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning, sawed in two, killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the desert and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. So I'm going to pause and I'm going to finish reading it in a second. And I'm going to go back to talking about Carrie. So in August 2018, Carrie made it to 7 years, her 7-year anniversary of her diagnosis. She had exhausted almost every treatment and things weren't really looking good. 2 months ago, her cancer continued to spread into her bones, and finally it hit her liver, stomach, spleen, and an MRI showed more brain mets. And yet, she still gathered hope and healing and faith that God's will would prevail. Carrie started researching a hospital in Mexico that offered alternative care for cancer, their goal of healing damage to a body who had gone through, a lot of drug treatments. And it cost about $40,000 and required her to be gone for an entire month. She ended up being gifted a grant for the full amount from a cancer foundation she had just heard about. And after paying $750 out of her own pocket for the flight, she was gifted $600 from a breast cancer foundation. And her treatment in Mexico went well, and her body was continuing to give up in other ways and healing in different ways. She remained faithful, and when she came back home and was practically visiting the ER every other day, she had hope. And on Sunday, she told her friends that she wanted to jump out of her body and leave it. And the following day, on Monday, July 22nd, Carrie passed away. Now, given the health problems she had battled over the years, a reasonable, educated person would say that her death was expected. She was well past her time. But I think for many of her friends, it was unexpected because we were all waiting for that miracle. God had shown time and time again healing for Carrie, so many answered prayers. But she and her loved ones were waiting for that big final healing miracle that never came. And my mom shared that she was more or less bummed out that Carrie never got to experience full healing from her cancer. And I know in times of sorrow, we ask ourselves, what's the point? All that effort Carrie put into her belief and her faith, and God didn't give her the one thing she wanted most. Where is her reward? So Hebrews 11 finishes with this. All these people were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things they promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Carrie's reward for being faithful lies in eternity. She had faith that there is a God and that Christ died for her sins, and she had faith that by accepting Christ into her heart, she'd get to experience heaven, kneel at the throne, and live in true peace and joy. And I'd like to think that her prayer was answered. Her miracle did come to fruition, just not in the way we expected. Carrie's body on earth did give out, but she is in the arms of her Lord and Savior today, cancer-free. And I'm sure the reward for her faithfulness is beyond comprehension. So I just want to celebrate Carrie's faithfulness in the Lord by ending with a prayer. Lord, we pray for our own faith. We pray for faith in healing and faith in your timing. Faith as we hold steadfast to fervent prayer. Faith as we rely on your word and strength. Cleanse us heart, mind, body, and soul. Let nothing stand in our faith and belief, Lord. Heal and release us from all captives of evil. And Lord, I just ask that you embrace all of those whose hearts are overflowing with grief and unanswered questions and feeling such a sense of loss for the wonderful woman that Carrie was. Grant them space to express their sorrow. Hold them close through the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.